Prayer will open. God's word, let us unite the Lord in prayer. Merciful and loving Heavenly Father, come before Thee this morning hour in great need for Thy presence, Lord. We pray that Thou wouldst, with Thy Holy Spirit, be with us. Thou wouldst guide our thoughts, guide our words, understanding that we would, Lord, take this message as from Thee, not as from a weak human. We pray that Thou would bless the words that will be read, Thou would implant them into our hearts of each and every one of us, that we would, Lord, with Thy help, leave this sanctuary changed this morning. Pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Dear ones, this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, I would like to read from the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter number 8. Hebrews, chapter number 8. I have desire to read the whole chapter. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is he mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant has been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. May the Lord bless these few. Dear ones, as we started this chapter of number 8 of Hebrews, it is a continuation of what we have written in the previous chapter in the last few verses about this high priest, a new high priest, who obviously, and I hope we all realize and believe that this is talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord, high priest who is about all the high priests that were from the order of Levites that were serving in that capacity, and high priest who is as it says over here in the verse 26 of previous chapter says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is what none of the high priests could be told about before him. He said, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. So high priest, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that came to this earth and laid his life, showed us his love, showed us the way, and at the end laid his life and ascended back to heaven. The high priest who the new covenant that he's talking over here in the letter verses of the chapter 8 that is established on Jesus Christ's birth, Jesus Christ's life, Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. This is the new covenant that it's talking about, the writer is talking about here, that we are all able to be partakers of. Who is also sitting on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, as the verse number 1 says over here. Who is also a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. We see the high priest, Jesus Christ. He's the minister. He's the one who serves. He's the one who served when he was on this earth. Although he left all the glory and presence of his Father, he came to this earth not to enjoy more glory, not to be recognized in a sense, but he came to serve you and me. He came to serve all of those who needed healing, who needed help in any way. And this is the high priest. He's also sitting on the right hand of a Father and interceding for each and every one of us, even this day, who prays for us, who is there to in a sense to eliminate the imperfections and sinlessness of humankind of each and every one of us, to be able to bring before the Lord who's perfect, who cannot stand sin. If he wasn't there, dear ones, we would not be able to have no access to our Heavenly Father. And this is what was enabled for us through this high priest, Jesus Christ. We have written here in verse 6, he said, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. How was the first covenant faulted? What was wrong with the first covenant? Was it something that God, Heavenly Father, the Creator, the one who brought the covenant forth, was it something that he didn't fulfill, that he didn't maybe foreseen, that didn't work? No, dear ones. The reason the first covenant was at fault was because of the human disobedience, human going and doing what pleases me, not what pleases God. Another thing, it might be that the old covenant was descendants of Abraham were automatically included in that covenant by virtue of being born. So there might have been, even though they were taught about God's love, God's promise, and his help during the exile from Egypt, there might not have been a lot of heart put into willingness to maybe hold the human part of promises that we often already fail. We know that God doesn't break his promise. He didn't break his promise in the old covenant. He will never break his promise with us in the new covenant. The man is the one who breaks the promise. We can start with Adam and Eve. They were blessed. They were put in a Garden of Eden. They didn't even have to work much, and they had control over everything. They had such a God had such a blessed plan for them. And we know that they chose to disobey. We know that they chose to do the things the way they were pleased. Cain and Abel and their children chose to disobey their Creator, and did the way they pleased. And the evil was multiplying on the earth so much that God had to bring a flood to destroy everyone but Noah and his family, who was righteous, who was not breaking his covenant with his God. But then after Noah, Noah's descendants were also doing things that pleased their flesh. And so many people that came after Abraham was the one who was recognized as a faithful one, who was to teach his nation, who was to be blessed, whose descendants were to be blessed beyond understanding. This is all promised by God, who was going to keep his covenant, his part of promise, but the humankind, man, always had choice. And more often than not, the choice was wrong. Choice was to please the flesh. And this is why nation of Israel and Judah, nation of Israel, I believe, or Judah, ended up in a slavery in Babylon, in a captivity. God promised them he will bring them out after 70 years. God also promised, God also fulfilled his promise. And this is even though few of these verses were direct quotes from Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, where this was happening, when the Lord, through Jeremiah, brought a new covenant, promised to have a different new covenant that will be more beneficial for the people, and not only for Israel people, Israel and tribe of Judah, but also for Gentiles, which we have hope and opportunity to be part of the salvation as a Gentiles, is what I meant. God, even in the new covenant, he promised to be with us. He promised to give us eternal life. He promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. And God will not break his promise. And even if it's a new promise, even if it's a new covenant, it doesn't still exclude us from being able to break the covenant. We know when we counsel new souls, when we question, we know that we're getting into covenant with the Lord, that we are expecting promises and his grace and his mercy. But there is also that we need to uphold our part. There is also parts that we are responsible for, and through which our salvation is not guaranteed if you do not remain faithful till the end of our life. We will promise, we all promised, who were baptized into death of Jesus Christ, that we will remain faithful, that we will uphold his commandments, that we will live for him and give him everything. Are we keeping those promises as precious ones? Something of the utmost importance in our lives. Something that, yes, if I deviate from what I promised, I might go too far, and I might lose that promise, the salvation. It doesn't tell us that we can go back to. I mean, he's telling us over here in a verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. What a promise. It does sound very good to each and every one of us, I believe. He will remember our sins no more. Does that mean that we can just go and do whatever we want because he made his promise? No. We still have to uphold our side of promise. We still need to be true to what we promised, or what we are ready to promise, if we ever want to be baptized in a death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. For finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the day come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. We see that this is not going to be same covenant. God is not going to be making same covenant as the old one was. As we mentioned, if those that were ascendants of Abraham, they were born into that covenant, the new covenant to be able to enter into new covenant, we have to be baptized. We have to be baptized. We have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we will make our promises to Him. And as He says over here that, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. What a beautiful words. What a something that we just want to cling to. That He will put His law into our minds and write them upon our hearts. Those that enter a new covenant have to be baptized. If we want to be partakers of that covenant, there's no way around. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth and He is life. And we need to accept Him as and receive Him as that high priest that is perfect. That has no faults, no sin. That doesn't have to bring sacrifices for his sins as that was the case with the old lesser high priests. He's the one who loves you and me. He's the one who is praying for you and me. And He's the one who wants us all to be with Him. And He's the one who is offering this new covenant. That we would enter that covenant not because we have to or not because we were born in a certain biological heritage, but because we do want to, because we realize what He's done for us, because we know that we want to serve Him, we love Him because He loved us. We give Him our whole heart. And if we give Him our whole heart and do it willingly, not because I want to please someone else, but because I know this is good for me and that I want to serve Him for the rest of my life because He's so good to me. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. And if I serve Him with my whole heart, I will not be walking close to the edge of abyss where I can drop down in a second and get killed. I will not take chances to offend my brother or my sister. I will not put the clothes on and wonder if someone is going to remind me of something or if someone is going to come and admonish me for wearing clothes that are maybe not suited for a believer. Or it doesn't have to be clothes. It can be anything. Anything that my heart's desire, right? My flesh wants to be seen, wants to be recognized. Dear ones, if I serve my Lord with my whole heart, this is not going to be my problem. And if I accept this high priest, new high priest, Jesus Christ, into my life. He's going to be the one who I want to show to those that are around me through my life. The one who will help me to uphold my promises, who will make prayers to his Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father in our stead. This is who I believe we all realize we serve. And this is who we need to be relying on helping us. He's giving us beautiful promises. He will not remember our sins no more, but we can't go back to sin and live sinful life. Even if it happens that we fall, we sin, we have to go back to Him and repent each and every time and stay clean to Him, pure. This is what it means, dear ones, to be imperfect, but to be perfect in His sight, in His eyes. That we're submitted to Him, that we're completed in His help, in His power and strength. My desire, dear ones, is that we all are partakers of that new covenant, that we all have our high priest on our side, that we would just not be the ones who will walk on this earth trying to please our flesh, trying to please maybe my brother or my sister, and not worry about how my life is pleasing my Creator and my Savior. I desire for each and every one, dear ones, that we would be always aware of who we serve, what our promises are, and those that didn't make the promise yet. This is the only way that we can be part of the heavenly kingdom. If we accept Jesus Christ, give our life to Him, promise obedience to the end of our lives, until He comes again. May the Lord bless the words on our hearts. Amen.
What a beautiful hymn we just sang that sums up who our Lord is as this chapter, which I think can be looked at as the high watermark of the epistle to the Hebrews, speaks of the excellency of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we know that Moses was the mediator of the covenant. And it wasn't until Moses, there was no priest in Israel or in Egypt at all. It wasn't until Moses had made purification of sins and went up the mount to God that the priesthood was established and Aaron became the high priest and his sons. For Israel, who had, the Bible tells us, had been baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And then the high priest was office was to maintain and keep the blessings on Israel, who was already redeemed through the blood of the covenant. And so, but we also see that the priesthood, why did the high priest have to, before he goes into the Holy of Holies, he had to offer a sacrifice of a bullock for himself? He just had two goats to offer for the sins of the people. He would slay one and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, and then symbolically would place the sins of the people upon the other goat, who would be sent away and abandoned to die alone in the wilderness. But for himself, he had to offer a bullock, something much greater than a goat. And this was just for himself. And why is that so? It's because God looked at the sins of the high priest in a greater light, even more so than he did of the people. Because he was there for the people. So he had to offer a sacrifice for himself in order to be able even to go in. And we never see the high priest seated in the Holy of Holies. And then we see Jesus. Then we see Jesus comes. And I believe this great chapter even begins even in the previous chapter where it talks. He says, but this man, in verse 24, it says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is our high priest. Jesus was never a high priest on this earth. It wasn't until, just as Moses, and that is the beauty as we study the Old Testament and we read and we see the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in Christ Jesus our Lord. He came, and it wasn't until he had made redemption for the sins of the people and had gone up on high, as it tells us here. And he didn't kneel before a throne. No, he ascended upon the throne at the right hand of God and makes intercession for you and I. And so we who have been baptized into the death of Christ by the new covenant, by the blood of Jesus Christ, one who didn't need to offer a sacrifice for himself. He was the sacrifice. He was the blood, the innocence that was shed for you and for me. And he ascends up on high, and he becomes the high priest to intercede for you and for me, and to provide for us, as the high priest was supposed to also do, to provide for you and me who have been cleansed by his atoning blood sacrifice, the blessings that we receive through faithful living with him. The excellency of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. He wasn't sin. He wasn't sin. He didn't need to offer a sacrifice for himself. It was for you and for me. It says here, and what kind of a high priest was he? He became us. He became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, what we just discussed here, first for his own sin and then the sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And it says here, it says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. That's whom we have to do with, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends. He walked this earth. You know, if he wasn't ever here, we could say, but you don't know what it's like. How could he not know? He created everything. But just to take, we can't say he doesn't know, because he was here. He was separate from sinners. He walked. He knows. He felt everything that we feel. He felt loss. He felt sadness. He felt everything that we felt he experienced in the flesh. But he provides for us, dear ones, the blessings. Look, as the brother shared in the prayer also, what he says here. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, a God. And they shall be to me a people. Where is God's law in our life today, brothers and sisters? Where is his law? Is it in our mind? Is it in our heart? Is it precious? Is he precious to us? Do we enjoy the blessings that we receive from him as a high priest? As a high priest, do we receive those blessings from him? The intention of him being the high priest is to give us these blessings, having been redeemed by him. Or do we walk around as the Israelites did, haphazardly offering sacrifices, cheap, sick, weak? Is that how we come to church? Beaten up all week long, giving in to sin, living a life of the world, and then, here I am, Lord, here I am, to offer the sacrifice of praise of my heart to thee. Is he our God? Is he our God? May the good Lord bring to us this excellency that we have read of and heard of this morning. May really impart into our hearts who he is, what he did for us, and what he wants to do for us, to keep us, to keep us. So that eternity would be ours with him. This is why he came. May he bless his word this day upon our hearts. Amen.